have life in his name. It's not enough just to say, well, I know Jesus existed. That's enough. But no, if I am to know the eternal life that God has given us, then belief needs to happen. So how then, question, do we come to believe in the Son of God? Well, look with me at verse 10 of our text. Verse 10, we read that whoever believes in the Son of God accepts this testimony. So believing in the Son of God is about accepting a testimony. And what is that testimony? Well, verse 11, this testimony is this. God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. That's God's testimony. That's what God is saying. God is saying, this is who my Son is. Do you accept that testimony? And so, having eternal life, believing, is about accepting this testimony. And that means, this afternoon, that these words, this is a matter of life and death. Sounds a bit dramatic, doesn't it? But it's true. This is a matter of life and death. Do you have the Son? Because if we get the Son wrong, we miss out on the eternal life that's on offer. So I've put it this way. Let's see if this makes sense. A right understanding of the Son of God is essential to receiving the eternal life God has given. Does that make sense? A right understanding of the Son of God is essential to receiving the eternal life God has given. So you might be sat there thinking, well, why is this in 1 John? Why is John talking about water, about blood? What's all this got to do with 1 John? Well, at the time John was writing, there was a group of people who were spreading this false teaching. And the group of people were basically saying, they were saying that Jesus is not who he claimed to be. And they were going around and they were saying all kinds of things about Jesus. And so we've got John urging, he's urging the readers. And he's saying to them, you remember in chapter 4, if you can, look back. Chapter 4, verse 1, he says, do not believe every spirit. And then verse 2, he goes on to say, this is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. Basically, that Jesus is God. Jesus Christ is the one who came in the flesh. And he actually says something very similar in his second letter. So if you can, look over to his second letter in verse 7. He says this, I say this because many deceivers who do not acknowledge Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh have gone into the world. So why is this strange passage in 1 John? Well, because there were a group of people saying, no, you've got it wrong. Jesus is not the Son of God. Jesus is not fully God, fully man. He's just a man. So why is that important now? Well, I think it's important now because I've got plenty of friends and people I know who will say similar things. And they might say to me, well, you know, I'm happy to say that Jesus, he's a good teacher. I'm happy to say, yeah, Jesus, he's a good healer. I like his examples. I've got a bad throat. I have had a bit of a cold this week. Thank you. And they're saying things like, yeah, Jesus is a good teacher. He lived a good life. His example, gentle, kind, meek, mild, all those kind of things. But God? No. Jesus isn't God. So people were denying that Jesus is the Son of God. See, they couldn't understand, they couldn't get it, how God could become a man. And they said something like this: well, okay, Jesus was the son of Joseph and Mary, and then at his baptism, this Christ's spirit came down onto Jesus. But just before his death, the Christ spirit left Jesus, and so on the cross, only the man Jesus died. That's what they were saying. It's called Gnosticism, if you want to know. It's not really that important. But the Gnostics were saying that kind of thing about Jesus. And John says, no. If you look down at verse 6, this helps us to see. He says, no, this is the one, Jesus Christ, who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ. He did not come by water only. That's what the Gnostics were saying. Jesus just came by water, his baptism. But John says no. He came by water and the blood. So why is this important? Well, we just said that part. This is why John gives us this testimony. Because if we get Jesus wrong, we miss out on eternal life. Let's think about those different parts, the water and the blood. What's all that about? Well, if we look down at verse 7, you can see that John gives us these witnesses. Now imagine that I'm in a courtroom and I'm about to come forward and I'm about to give this testimony. And if I just stand here and I say what I've got to say on my own, then you can take it or leave it. If one person stands up and they agree with me, if another person stands up and they agree, and another person stands up and they agree, can you see the testimony I'm saying, the things I'm saying, they carry more weight. And here John says, verse 7, that there are three that testify. There are three that testify. And he says, the Spirit, the water, and the blood. And that these three are in agreement. So the Spirit, that's probably speaking of the time the Spirit descended on Jesus. And you remember in the other Gospels, when the Spirit descended onto Jesus, we hear that God the Father saying, this is my Son. This is my Son who I love. With him I am well pleased. And then we've got the blood speaking of his death. And it's this was important because John is saying, looking at verse 6, this is the one who came by water and blood. And if we remember that group of people who were spreading the false teaching, they were saying something like this. No, Jesus just became the Christ. He became the Christ. But John says, no, he came by water. That the Christ, the Son of God, was in the baptism just as much as he was in the death. And why is that important now? Well, at the cross, let's think about that. If Jesus was only a man at the cross, then his death means nothing. How can I know that God accepts me? How can I know that I have forgiveness of sins? How can I know that I'm in a right relationship with God? Remember in the chapter 4, we were looking at that word, propitiation. And if we look back at that chapter, if we can, we probably can't on the screens, but I'll read it to you. John writes, this is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son. into the world, that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. So you see, at the cross, as the Son of God, Jesus Christ can be the atoning sacrifice for my sins. If he was just a man, he couldn't do it. But as the Son of God, he can be the atoning sacrifice I need for the forgiveness of sins. But also there's another thing. If Jesus was not fully God or fully man, then how can he identify with my life? But the great news of the gospel is that we have a God who is not distant, who is not far away. If you're feeling lonely, maybe stressed, tired, weary, struggling through life, we know a God who entered into our world. A God who became a man, who experienced the mess, the dirt of our world. If Jesus was just a man, well, God is distant. God cannot identify with our suffering. But we know, don't we, that he did more than that. He went to the cross. And that on the cross, we have God suffering, the worst suffering that is imaginable. So God has given us this testimony. We'll go back to verse 10. Whoever believes in the Son of God accepts this testimony. Question, do you believe? Do you believe? And maybe you're sat thinking, well, it all sounds really great. You're talking about eternal life. You're talking about having life in the Son. But it just doesn't feel like it. I've had a bit of a rubbish week, if I'm honest. My car broke again. I got a bit of a cold. You know, work's tiring. And, you know, we know these amazing truths, don't we, about God. And we hear these amazing things from God's words. But we wake up and life hits us. And I think, though, the question on John's mind might be this. Where is life found? Where is life to be found? There's a story about a lady who, she was completely unaware of it, but her husband had been planning to leave her. And he'd been planning it for months. And the day came when she was at work, and the removal vans arrived at the house. And in less than an hour, the house was empty. Later that evening, she got back, and she went up her driveway, and she started to think things look a bit different. The house was quite large, and the lights weren't on. And she went up to her door, she opened the door, and it was dark. It was cold, and no one was home. Her husband had left her for another woman. And all he'd left in the house was a table, a chair, and a note. What do you do when the thing that you were living for is gone? When you lose the one thing that you were living for, what do we do? Where do we go? Well, she went to her pastor, and she had counselling. And there's this amazing part of the story, a remarkable moment when she phones her pastor, and she says These are remarkable words. She says, my husband can take my house. He can take my family. He can take my money. He can take my possessions. But the one thing he cannot take is my life. Jesus Christ is my life. And he is with me always. You see, knowing the Son, believing in the Son, it's not just enough to hear the testimony. And if we believe in the Son of God, eternal life starts now. So the question is, let's look down at the last verse of 1 John. This is the testimony of God. This is the testimony. God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. Do you know the Son? Maybe you've heard the testimony. Maybe you've heard about Jesus. But do you believe in Jesus? Do you know him? I'm going to pray now, and if you'd like, make this prayer on your own. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you that you have sent your Son into this world. And we thank you that you sent your Son to save us and to give us eternal life. Thank you that those who turn to you can know eternal life, can have life. As we pray for each of us, Father, that we would do that. That even though life is hard, you would be helping us to put our trust and to know the life that you have sent us in Jesus. We pray in his name. Amen.